Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 392, A Living Sacrifice. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, October 27th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. We're going to jump right in today. Praise the Lord. The title of the message is Living Sacrifice. So some of the songs, well, the last one, quite obvious, that was the title of the song, Living Sacrifice. And that's a serious thing, isn't it? Like I said, buckle up. Buckle up, praise the Lord, and to worship you I live. I love that song so much. I know it just repeats over and over, but there's something about that song for me. I just really am able to enter in and just focus on just that concept. I am here, my life is here to worship Christ, to worship God. And it's like I have to remind myself over and over and just soaking in that worship to Him of, it's for you that I live, to worship you I live, to worship you I live. And we throw in a little, oh, and it makes it good, right? Praise the Lord. Okay. I tell you what, I'm a little fired up today. There is something going on up here, I think, sister. Okay, I'm feeling it. Praise the Lord. All right. So living sacrifice comes from Romans 12. So we're gonna look a little bit at Romans 12 today. And are you enjoying studying Romans in the cell groups? Yes. Hasn't it been good? It's been deep. It's a meaty book. And so we're gonna have some steak today. Praise the Lord. Bring on the steak sauce, the A1. All right. The very first verse of Romans 12 starts with a word that's like, wait a second. I think we need to back up. So we're going to do a little review before we start, because in some versions that say therefore. And any of you that know anything about the English language, therefore is like a conclusion, like something came before it. And then because of whatever was said there, therefore, and then we make a conclusion, right? And so in the NLT that we're going to look at, it says, and so. And so it's similar, like, and so what? What happened before that? And so we're going to talk about a little summary of what happened in the rest of the books before we get to that therefore or that and so. So I guess I say that a lot. I believe the last time I preached, it was about Romans 8, right? And Romans 8 is full of talking about, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And a lot of the beginning book or the beginning chapters of Romans tell us what it is, like Christian belief. What are we to believe? If we say that we follow Jesus, Paul is setting us straight that this is what we should believe. This is who Christ is, and this is what Christ did for us. He died for us to set us free, right? In Romans 8, that says there in the beginning that because through Christ he set us free from the law of sin and death, he is the spirit of life, right? I said it kind of differently, but basically, Christ, the spirit of life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. And because of that, there's no condemnation to those of us that are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on in this wonderful chapter, and there's so many awesome verses in Romans 8, you know, and at the end it talks about there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, neither height nor death nor angels or demons, all the things, right, that can separate us because he loves us so much. And so Paul spends many of those chapters even just telling us what it is to believe. Who is Christ? Who are we? And yeah, okay. And so that he also made us more than conquerors. Isn't that awesome? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? And so then this second section, starting with Romans 12, the second section is the practical application of what came before, of like the theory of who we are and what to believe. And now it's like, okay, so how do you live that? How do you put that into practice in our lives? And that is so important, because if we just get knowledge, we just know what the word says, or I can spit it out to you, then I just become a big head and I'm not actually walking it. I'm not living it out in my life. And that makes us what? A bit hypocritical, right? And the world is tired of seeing hypocrites in church. The world needs to see people who are living out their faith, who have given their lives to this Jesus who said, I have set you free from the law of sin and death, and now there's therefore no condemnation for you. The world needs to see that we have responded to God's amazing love and laid our lives down back to him, right? They don't need more lip service. They need to see it in action. And so for us, we need to give our lives to him. We need to apply these words, apply all of these truths that Paul is, stating so eloquently through these previous chapters leading up to chapter 12. Okay, so now we're ready. Romans 12, 1. They have it up there. They're on it. Thank you, ladies. So we're going to look at the NLT version. And so there it is. And so, or other versions say, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I plead, that's a strong word, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Okay, how do I worship God? What do I do with this belief? He says, this is the way to worship him. How? To give your bodies to God, he says. What does that mean? Give your body to God because of all he has done for us. Let your body, your body is your being, right? It's the suit that he's given for our spirit, for our being, for who we are as a person, as his creation. So giving our whole selves to the Lord, that is our form of worship. That's what true worship is, living for him. I mean, it's not just singing, bless the Lord. That's part of our life. That's part of our expression. But if our worship to God is only when we come and we sing and then we live any other way throughout the week and we forget all of this and we treat people not well, not representative of Christ, then our worship means nothing, right? And so he's looking for something deeper. I don't know what to say, but you know what I'm saying. That's why I said buckle up. Are you ready, right? It's going to stretch us. That's a good expression. It's going to stretch us because like Sister Elizabeth said, and I'm right in that club with her, I have not arrived yet. None of us have until we get to his presence. And so there's always a greater degree to which we can surrender our lives to Christ, that we can render ourselves to him, that we can lay down our lives as a living sacrifice, as it says here. You know, humans, as people, we so easily and usually, right, serve sin, just in general. I mean, us in the church, we're going against that, right? But just as human natures, we serve sin so, like, just easily without even thinking about it. Voluntarily, though, giving yourself to God is a spiritual act of worship instead of giving yourself voluntarily to sin. We have that choice all the time, every second of the day. Right? There's something over here luring us and our flesh goes, ooh, yeah, that sounds good. That smells good. That looks good. Everything that glitters ain't gold, one of my sisters used to say. I know you guys all like glitter and bling bling and that's good, but we need to sometimes scratch the surface, beyond the surface and what's underneath that. Let's not give ourselves over to sin so easily, but give ourselves to God, the living God, who sent Jesus to die for us. So this is a big response. He's calling us to respond to him by giving of our whole self, our whole being. It's our response to God's great mercy of us Gentiles that he grafted us in, right? Because at first it was for the Jewish people. It was for his chosen people. And we got grafted in. It was for us too. He did it for us too. Praise the Lord. But his great mercy, all that he saved us from. And so this is our response to turn back to him and say, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you all that I have, which is my life, my body. You know, in the Old Testament, you can read all about the sacrifices that were required. And what was required of the sacrifices? It was something dead, right? You had to sacrifice a slain animal, a beast, a ram, a goat, a whatever, an animal. And it was dead. Well, not anymore. He's requiring now. He wants us a life. He gave us life. He died to give us life. He wants us to live for him. So praise the Lord that we don't have to get right with him by killing some animal and it's bloody and it's messy and all of that. We only have to kill our flesh. We only have to die to our flesh, right? Not so bad. Well, guess what? That's going to cost us everything, isn't it? Our salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift that all of us, if we've received and, you know, believe in and made Jesus our Lord and Savior, we said, yes, I received that free gift. It was free, right? But now, to really live for him, to respond to what Jesus did for us, that'll cost us everything. That'll cost us our life. Wow. Help us, Jesus. He wants our lives sacrificed on the altar. We live to worship him with our lives, pure living for him, integrity. It says living and holy sacrifices. Holy means set apart. That means with purity. And are we perfect in doing that? Absolutely not. But we're striving to that. My heart is there. I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to be as pure as I can be for him, right? And the Holy Spirit is my helper. He's my paracletos that comes alongside me and helps me, and he pushes me to Jesus. And I get changed in that process. Sneak peek of the next verse of what we're going to talk about. So that I become more and more looking like Jesus, the image of him. It's awesome. He's calling us to consecration, to a higher level, because it's a lot more than just showing up on a Sunday and singing, oh, bless the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Kumbaya, my Lord. No, but every day in our choices and how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we treat people, the words we use, what we participate in, what we watch, what we hear, what we... I remember a family member once told me, this was years ago, like everything you do is about Jesus. They were kind of like upset about it. You know, like everything you do is like Jesus, like the books you read, the movies you want to watch. Like you don't want to just be like normal. And I was like, well, he's my life. He's my life. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't want other things, you know, trying to explain that to someone in the world. They don't really get it, but they just looked at me like, okay, scratch your head. And we go on. Our lives sacrificed on the altar, living for him, surrendered to him, unselfish. It's not looking at ourselves and what we want. Oh, man, if I could write a book, and I'm sure all of us that walked any time with the Lord could write a book, you know, because the story that I would have penned for my life years ago, like 20 years ago, would have been much different than the life that I'm living today. And that has to do with me saying, yes, Lord, okay, I surrender to you. And with each surrender and with each yes, Lord, he's built this life that you see now, that who is Sarah, you know? But the life that I would have said that I wanted would have been XYZ and nothing like now. But let me tell you, it's so good. Has it been always easy? No, absolutely not. Has it always been fun? No, probably not. But is it good? Yes, it's good. And it's so worth it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I couldn't go back. I mean, his ways are so above our ways. His thoughts are so above. He designed my life. He created me and placed everything inside of me because he knows the purpose that he has for me to walk out. But if I'm not surrendered on the altar, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to be able to experience all the amazing things that he has for me and the calling and the destiny for my life if I say, no, but I'm holding on to this. No, I'm not going to, no, I can't be a pastor. No, I can't do this. I can't. All the things. And I'm sure we could all relate to this. It's a dying to ourself and what we think is best for our lives, what we want. And in the day to day as well, the day to day. All right, let's go on. Verse 2. Was that long enough on verse 1? All right. Praise God. Living and holy sacrifice. Romans 12:2, it says in the NLT version, says it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, are you letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right, let's unpack this a bit. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't just be a Xerox copy of what's out there. Oh my goodness. Please. Because you know what? Inside each of us, In your spirit, you are perfect. In your born again spirit, you are perfect. You are the image of Christ, the image of Jesus. But on the outside, it's something different, right? On the outside, we fall short. On the outside is our mind and our will and our emotions. The solution is getting our minds renewed. Because if we just fall in the rut, the pattern, the mold, if you will, think about like a candy mold or something, you know, you pour it in and it fits to the mold that's there, right? Thinking of chocolates, making chocolates. It's the example that most quickly comes to me, right? We cannot just conform to that mold that the world has set for us. If we do, we had this discussion in our cell group last week, and one of the ladies said, I thought this was so good, said, if we do, then we become deformed. If we just conform to what the world is doing and how they're doing it, then we become deformed. Not looking at all like the image of how Christ dreams of our life, how he designed us to be. He has a perfect plan for us. That was you. Thank you, sister. That was so good. So we've got to do something. What does it say there in that verse? First, it says, don't do something. What are we not doing? Conforming, right? Copying the behavior and the customs of this world. But we're letting God transform us into new creatures in Christ, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5. A new person. By how? What do we have to change? Our minds, the way we think. If you want to change your life, anyone want to change their life or something, aspect of their life? You know where it's at? This is where it's at. Right here. Everybody put your hand on your head. This is where it's at. Tell your neighbor, this is where it's at. Change your life. Change your mind. Change your thoughts. We have to change these thoughts. When our thoughts are changed, when our thoughts are lined up to the Word of God, we will be different. Amen. We will be transformed. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. This is big. Don't conform to that mold. I like to think of it as a caterpillar. Could you put that picture, that first picture up? Okay, caterpillar. It's all right looking. right? It's kind of cool. Black, yellow. They might look different. Some are the fuzzy, furry ones. Maybe I should have gotten a fuzzy, furry picture. This caterpillar is representative of going the mold of going, conforming to the world. We're going to use this as an illustration, right? Thinking small, that's us thinking small when we conform to the world's way of doing things, of thinking. It's worldly, it's secular, it's sensical, it's all based on head knowledge, logical. It's all based on our five senses and what we can see and hear and taste and feel and touch. But it's limited. And it's also can be fear-based. Oh, man. The world wants to sell so much fear, right? Intimidation. It's also selfish. Make it happen. Do what you want. Take it into your own hands. It's fleshly. Do what feels good. Do what feels right. Follow your heart. All this stuff. Those are the messages of the world. But so if we're not conforming to that, to the caterpillar way, and we do what Paul is urging and pleading us to do in Romans 12:2, which is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then we're going to turn into something different. We're going to be transformed. You can put up the second picture. Transformed, and I have a real life. Isn't that beautiful? So beautiful. And here's a real life image. I thought I had my little very hungry caterpillar beanie baby, but I guess I don't have it anymore. So you can look at the caterpillar there and then look at this. This is us. This is us, even with one area of your life, one thought that when you change it and transform it, when the thought that starts from the world that's a lie, for example, I'm not loved. Nobody loves me. What's that song? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. What a terrible song. Right? I mean, who wrote that? Does anyone know that song? It's like a little kid's song. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Pastor Sarah, please do not sing that again. Let's sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Okay, so we need to get the truth of what God says in our hearts. Because what if we walk around with that truth in our heart that everybody hates me, nobody loves me, guess I'll go eat worms. Some people, you see them out in Walmart or pumping gas and you're like, yeah, that's the song that they're singing on the inside. They look like they've been sucking on limes or something. They're like, you know, because they have that image of themselves. They're carrying that lie. And they're conforming to the way of the world. But what happens when we get our minds renewed? We start hearing the word of God. Like, John 3:16 was already mentioned, I believe Sister Aaliyah talked about. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For God so loved Suzanne. For God so loved Liam. For God so loved Jackie and Bill that he gave his one and only son. He did it for you. But so when you get that truth in your heart and that comes alive, like Tanya and Pastor Harley, the last few weeks of messages have been talking about conceiving in your heart the truth of what God says, whether it's for healing, whether it's whatever. Today we're talking about all of it. But getting that alive in your heart, the word dwelling in you, it's going to transform you. So no longer you're going to, in even just that one area of how you think about yourself, that nobody loves me, with that lie, you get transformed into a butterfly. And that's going to change you. That's bringing transformation. We are transformed into something new. And then imagine if we do that in all the areas of our lives, right? We could come up with different lies. And some of my sisters helped me with some of these things. So, because I wanted to give them credit. So here's another one. Like, the lie of the world. This is the caterpillar thinking. If I'm in financial need, then I should hold on to what I have. Hold on to it tightly because I don't have, I need it. I got to store it away. I got to dig a hole and bury it, bury my treasure, right? Versus what would the word of God say? Give, and it should be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, rolled over, it's poured into your lap. You guys are going to help me. Praise the Lord, right? Luke 6:38. That would be the truth. But it doesn't just get in your heart and you begin to walk and act on that word until you get that alive in your heart. Until your mind gets renewed. Well, how do I do that? You meditate on it. You chew it like a cow. Chew and it's cut. I don't know why I always end up with animal sounds, but I do. So chew on the truth. Put it in over and over again. So that becomes the truth. That he, if I give, he's going to give back to me. Pressed down, shaken together. That he gave his best gift, his son Jesus, for me. So I don't need to hold on to what I have. Right? That's going to transform me in the area of finances and the area of generosity. Your pocketbook, your checkbook will go through a transformation. And that'll be a good thing for the glory of God. Right? Many of us have stories like that. Here's another one. I will be healed once I get to heaven. That's caterpillar thinking. Once I get to heaven, I'll be healed. But here I just have to suffer. Versus the truth of God that we can renew our minds with. That there's so many in the word. And for all of these lies, you could find so many truths. But Psalm 103, what about it? Praise the Lord, my soul. Oh, praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Who heals, I'm getting ahead of myself, forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Right? When that becomes your truth, when that becomes what you are renewed on, your mind gets renewed on that, then you're no longer a crawling caterpillar in your way of thinking. You're this. Because guess what? You can receive it then. You can receive what Jesus purchased for you on the cross, your healing. Praise the Lord. Here's another one. I can't overcome something like a bad habit or an addiction, a fear, because it's too hard. I just can't do it. I'm just going to give up. I can't do it. That's caterpillar world thinking, right? Versus getting our minds renewed to the truth. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. Through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. You can do it. This is for somebody. Don't give up. You can do it. Through Christ, you can do all things as he strengthens you. And he's strengthening you. Praise the Lord. So don't give up and don't give in. But we've got to get these truths. And the Bible is full of these truths. Man, we can be glistening, sparkling, bling, bling butterflies in every area of our lives. What does it take? Renewing our minds. And even before that, go back to verse 1. We've got to be a living sacrifice. Because guess what? We can't get our minds renewed. We're not going to let go of the old ways of thinking if we're not laid down and surrendered to him. That comes first. Ooh, forgot to mention that. That comes first. Are you laid down on the altar and say, God, take it all? Because when you are truly in your heart, and that's your position of your heart before him, then you're going to let those old ways of thinking go. Show me, Holy Spirit. Show me what area I need to get my mind renewed in and help me work on that one thing. One thing. Just pick one thing. One area. One thought. And I believe as I'm speaking, whoa, as I'm speaking this morning, that the Holy Spirit is showing you one area, one lie, one thought that you're like, I struggle in that. And I keep going back to this lie, and I keep going back to what the world is trying to spoon feed me. And we can say no, no, and we do our part. If we're a living sacrifice, we're surrendered to Christ, we've dedicated ourselves, then every day we get in here and we put it in. Put it in your heart. I've shared this with many people. One thing that I do is if there's a particular area that I'm struggling in and I know I need to build my faith in that area, I do a study. Use Google, use the Bible resources. There's so many tools. I write out those words, those scriptures, and then I record myself reading those. You know, voice memo? Those are so good. And if you got a smartphone, let it be smart for you. Let it record you. Read those scriptures, and then you play it while you're washing dishes, while you're driving in your car. It's you reading the truth, and you meditate on that, like the healing scripture CD, over and over again. That's how you get your mind renewed. Get it alive in your heart that this is the truth, not that anymore, not caterpillar thinking anymore. I'm going for this. I'm going for His best for my life. Praise the Lord. As you renew your mind, instead of conforming to the image of the world, you will conform to the image of the reborn spirit within you, Christ Jesus, which is created in righteousness and holiness. Wow. And then little by little, step by step, as you do that, you change, you transform. More gold, more bling, more glitter. More and more you look like Him. Praise the Lord. As I said this, but I feel like I need to repeat it. You can't do this successfully if you aren't first surrendered and living a life that is a living sacrifice to Him. Live a holy and living sacrifice. You worship Him as we worship Him as we pattern our lives after Jesus, what He told us, what He instructed, God's way of doing things and God's way of thinking, not the world's, not our own, not my flesh's. And it's so important, I'm going to say this here too, that you have to build your faith. As you know the truth of God, as you really come to know the truth of God, and we know the word that in John that says, as you know the truth will set you free. As you do that and commune with the Word and His truth, then you will know His will. That's what it was saying in Romans 12:2. You'll know His will and you'll be able to determine what's not His will for your life. And you can stay away from that counterfeit and walk in His good and His perfect and pleasing will. So that with every choice you make, you say, no, that's not it. As you get your mind renewed, the more you do, the more you get transformed to look like His image, then it comes to you. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. And you say, that's the way. That's the way I'm going to walk in it. But we have to do our part to build ourselves, build our faith to get there. You know, I shared this with the cell group last week. One of my major lies that I've been a Christian, I lost count, over 20 years. It used to be that I can't do it, or I'm less than. I had this like inferiority complex. And as I learned God's way, as I learned what God said and speaks over me, that old caterpillar way of thinking began to change and transform my life. To where today, you know, I've had friends say, when I talk about a story of the Sarah that I once knew, they're like, I don't even, like, really? You were like that? I was like, yes, I was like that. Believe me. I used to be so afraid of speaking in public. Ha ha. One of the first prophetic words that I got was, I see you with a mouthpiece, like a microphone. And I was like, like that word. I don't like that word. Like, I was a people that would be on the side. Like, if I had to go up and present or speak, I'd be like sick to my stomach because I was so insecure and so like, I don't want people to look at me. I would have preferred to be in the background and I would help the speaker and I would set everything up and I'd plan the dinner afterwards, but let me be in the background and don't let me be up front. And I can't even pray in public for people or anything like that. And look at God. What do I have in my hand 20 years later? A microphone. And how much am I up here? A lot. I mean, more than my flesh wanted back in those days, right? But as I got my mind renewed, I remember in the beginning days in YWAM, when I was serving as a missionary there in Argentina, I guess my leaders saw something in me, or they, God told them, you know, showed them, you know, some of the giftings and things. And they just started calling me out. Oh, you're going to get up there today and you're going to start translating. Or they'd start me slow, like translating for something, not like up on stage, a message or something, but like, you're going to translate the announcements in the morning time or whatever. Cause I was in a bilingual school. And so I began to translate, and then they began to do it again, do it the next day. Now you do it with a mic. Now you get up on the platform. Now you get up on the stage. And I'm like, and God began to bring words to my heart. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Ephesians 1 is one of that last verse. I think it's verse 23 in Ephesians 1. It says, I fill all in all, because I felt like I was less than or I was missing something. And God spoke that so deep to my heart. I fill everything in every way. And so when I feel like inferior or I was missing something or I can't do it, I fill all in all. And let me tell you, those words over time, as they came alive in my heart, that's how I got to where I am now with a microphone. It wouldn't have been my choice. It wouldn't have been my way. But as God renewed me to his image, I'm walking in his plan for my life. And many times it seems to me, I don't know, maybe you can relate to this, it seems like the area that where the enemy attacks, we'll call him the defeated one, where the defeated one goes to attack is right where God has the giftings, right where God wants to use you. And so, you know, God wanted to use me, I don't know, for teaching, for preaching, for being a mouthpiece to speak his word, to encourage people. And the enemy goes, we're going to attack her confidence. We're going to make her feel inferior. We're going to make her feel like she can't do it. Like she is so insecure. And as I got my mind renewed to, no, I'm not insecure. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I'm at the head and not the tail, right? All these truths, they come alive in your heart. And then little by little, I started to fly. I started to step out. And then they said, you're going to lead the outreach. I was a student. You're going to lead the outreach. I was like, what? I was in crisis. I was panicking. They're like, you're a leader. You're going to lead. I'm like, you're above, you're the head and not the tail. Okay, God, I'm trusting you. You say I'm in the head. And you know, some days it's like you get that word and it's not quite alive and totally, you're not confident on it yet. You're stepping out like a tightrope. Okay, all right, I'm doing it. Okay, God, is this how it's supposed to look? And then you do it again and again and again, and then you turn into this. Is your life laid down as a sacrifice to be ready for him to mold you? Are you ready to get into the word and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it so that it comes alive in your heart so that you can get transformed? That's his plan. How long have I been preaching? Okay. Praise the Lord. He'll do it. If you say yes, you say yes over and over again. I remember I like doing puzzles, you know, many piece puzzles. And one day I was doing a puzzle and I was putting a piece and God said, that's your, every time you put a piece, that's you accepting the challenge of figuring out where this piece goes. And you say, I don't know where it goes, but yes. And you pick it up and you look and then he shows you and you find where it goes. Yes. Again and again, he said, that's your life. And then I build this beautiful picture of every time you pick up the puzzle piece and you go, I don't know, but I'm just going to surrender and say, yes, let you do it. And he creates the image. He creates the picture. Praise the Lord. Okay, Romans 12, 3 through 5. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Okay. So as you're getting renewed on the word of God, like I did, if you're dealing with, like I was, rejection, don't go on the other side of, I'm better than all you, I'm a hotshot, all this. No, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Let's be right there in the center of God's love, right? That I am loved and blessed by the Father, but I'm no better than anybody else. So Paul is saying, watch your pride in thinking of yourself. We need each other. And this says, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed or given to each of you, you cannot become who he wants you to become and operating in the gifts that he's placed inside of you without growing and applying your faith. You have to work your faith. That's getting into the word of God and getting your mind renewed. That's an expression of living out your faith. You must build it. You must work it, right? And then you have to renew your mind. Put in the word of God. Begin to serve in order to be built up in the gifts that he's given you. You are so valuable in the body of Christ, each one of you. I say that to each one. You are valuable. And we need you in the body of Christ. Imagine a body functioning without a liver, a part, or without an elbow. All the parts are significant. All the parts make up the body and help the body to function in the way that it was created to function. If one of the body parts is missing, the body suffers, right? And so as we are deciding, yes, I surrender my life, I'm a living sacrifice to him, and we're getting our minds renewed, and we're like this, Paul is revealing to us here that it's not just for ourselves. It's for the body. It's so that my gifts, as I look more and more like this, it should be blessing you. And you, as you get your minds renewed and you step out and you serve God and you're coming and being a part and you're fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters, it's going to be a blessing to the rest. It's going to be a blessing to me. I need what you have. I don't have what you have. I only have what he's given me and what he's teaching me to develop, right? And you have missing pieces for everyone else. So we need to learn to see each other as, sister, I need you. Brother, I need you. God, give me what you got. What you got from God in there? Because share it. That's his design for the body to be built up and blessed. It's awesome. It's his amazing plan. It doesn't happen, though, if we are not surrendered on the altar, if we haven't given ourselves as a living sacrifice. But as we each do, wow, it's awesome. It's like, have you ever gone to the Botanical Conservatory when they have the butterfly exhibit and all the butterflies are all around and they come and land on you and it's amazing. Too bad I don't have pictures of that. The body of Christ flowing and functioning together. That's us. That should be us in the world, filling up the world with the transformation power little lightning bugs, lighting up the dark world with who we are in Christ. And inside the church being edified and built up as we are rubbing off on each other with what we have been given. Okay, 6-8. In his grace, Romans 12:6-8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Whatever your gift is, do it. Begin to serve. Help the body. And you'll find out what gifts you have, what he's placed inside of you. When in YWAM, we served all the time in all different areas. And as you serve, as I served and I would get assignments, I would find out what I loved and what I hated. And it was like what I did just because I was told to do it. And okay, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to scrub the toilet or I'm going to do whatever. But certain things, it was like when I got to do XYZ, you know, then it's like, wow, I love this. I came alive when I began to translate. I love doing that after I got over the whole fear of public speaking and all of that. And I gave myself every time I did it to like God just use me. I began to just come alive. And people would say, you come alive when you do that. When you're up there in the microphone and translating the preacher or the speaker or whatever. You're like flow. So ding, 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 there's like a gifting there. There's things that God's placed. And you'll find that out as you begin to go and move and serve and do. And so that's my encouragement. Come talk to me about how you can serve, how you can, there's so many things, so many ways that you can be a blessing to the body. Start and you'll find out what God has placed in you, what he has for you. Then the rest of Romans 9, I think I'll have to do this another message another day, 9 through the end. It's a continued like call of action in all these other areas, but mainly with relationships. It talks a lot about loving, and it all comes out of being a holy and living sacrifice, because these other urges, I'll call them, that are pleas that Paul makes from the rest here in Romans 12 around verse 9 to the end, we can't do it if we're not a living sacrifice, if we're not laid out our lives on the altar for him. How are we going to love somebody else? How are we going to bless our enemies and not curse them if we're not a living sacrifice? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I think we'll save that message for another day because we can talk a lot about that. But so conclusion, I want to read Romans 12, 1 and 2, just in the message version, and just close your eyes and let this just wash over you. I loved the way it said it here. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Dedicating yourself as a living sacrifice comes first. That's step one. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Lay your life down. It's going to cost you everything. Do you really want to follow him? Do you really want to find out the plan he has for your life and come into the image that he has for you? Start there. Start with your life on the altar. Take time to get away from the world, to get into his word, to get with him. Meditate on it and let it change you from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Picture it. All of us at at my Father's house, saying, yes, I really lay my life down, not just on Sunday, not just when I'm at cell group, but every day I give myself to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, my life placed before him on the altar, and choosing to spend time with him, choosing to get our minds renewed, getting transformed so we look more like this each and every day. And as we do that, giftings are going to flow out of us. And together, you know, imagine all of us like that and in a circle, and we're rubbing elbows. We're rubbing off on each other. We're building up each other through what we have to give as God renews us, renews our minds. It's awesome. The unity, the picture of that, that's what he has for us. And as the, that's just at my Father's house, but us, the local body here, my Father's house, with all the other churches around, all the other, like the large C church, the body of Christ as a whole, that's what it's supposed to look like. And it's beautiful. So please stand. Let's just respond to God for a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God, we bless you. We thank you because your plan is so awesome. Your ways are much higher than our ways. Your thoughts are much above our thoughts, higher than ours. And Father, we just get still before you. We quiet ourselves before you. We want to respond to your love. And as I'm talking, if you need to kneel down, if you need to lay prostrate, whatever you need to do, we're just going to take a moment to respond to him. Thank you, Jesus. God, you gave your son for us. You gave it all to set us free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation for us. There's nothing that can separate us from your love. You did it all for us, God. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life. And we want to respond to your life, to your amazingness in our lives. No longer is it required of us to sacrifice an animal on the altar. But God, we want to freely, voluntarily give you ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices. Thank you, God, that you hear the motive of our heart, that you hear when we want to do that. God, and I choose that every day. Every day again, I surrender my life to you. Take my life and make it be what you want it to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I may not have all the answers, and it may be hard, really hard some days, but God, I just surrender to you. I say yes to you, and I let you, and I trust that you're going to work it out. You're going to work out my coming and my going and all the things. And God, I make a choice as I surrender to you, to spend time with you, to be in your presence, to get into your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I'm not alone, that you help me do this. Help me. You help me in the process of renewing my mind. God, I pray for each one that you would show us what is that one area, that one thought, that one area, that lie that we have still been in agreement with, that you want us to work on, that you want to transform us. So in that area and that thought, it can no longer be a lie. It doesn't have to be that we're conforming to the way that the world does it and the way the culture says that we should. We don't conform to that, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us, God, as we study, as we read, show us, highlight what that area is, what that thought is, what that lie is, one by one, so that we can get transformed into your image and likeness. I bless each life, each person, as they endeavor to do that. Thank you, God, for making us into beautiful butterflies, transformed into your image, your power. And as we do that, God, the body here at my Father's house and the larger body of Christ is built up in a most powerful way. Unity in the body as we all are looking to you, as we are all surrendered and sacrificed ourselves, our lives to serve you. We are blessing each other. We are helping each other. We are supporting each other in the way that you would have us do. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we are your transformed ones, shining bright for the world to see, that we would attract others in that process to you that say, you're different. You're a little weird, but you're different, and I want to know why. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Take our lives and transform them, God. Transform our church, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for those listening on live today, on social media. Thank you, Lord. Bless them over the top. Abundance from the top of their head to the tip of their feet. I speak to symptoms and bodies, and I say, you must go in the name of Jesus. You must bow to the name of Jesus. I declare the manifestation of healing in the name of Jesus. There's some that maybe have been waiting a long time. I just see like watches being thrown out. Don't look at the time. Don't look at how many years or what time has gone by. And I still haven't gotten it. I still haven't gotten it. Throw out the watch and focus on Jesus. And speaking to myself, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the manifestation of healing as we believe we receive, as we get our minds renewed to what your word says, that you've already done it for us. Thank you, Lord. We forget not all your benefits. So bless those friends listening today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.